Hey, it's Benji Cole, son of Al Cole from CBS Radio and host of People of Distinction, the talk that gives an in-depth view of some of the most dynamic, intelligent, and successful people on the planet. Run to our website, peopleofdistinction.org, for more info, or you can always email me directly at benji@alcoleenterprises.com. And on the line with us today, we have Dr. Inyang Ukut. We're going to be discussing his amazing book, Essentials for Practice of Medicine in the Frontline. From Tropical Africa, Pleasantly Different, Volume 1. Now, right there in the title, folks, you know if there's a Volume 1, well, chances are there's a Volume 2 somewhere out there as well. And not only that, there's a Volume 2, but then there's also four other books that Inyang has written. And you're going to want to head on over to his Amazon, his Barnes & Noble page, or directly through his personal site, drinyangukut.com, to purchase all of them as soon as they're available. Now, that's going to be the abbreviation of doctor, so D-R. Inyang is I-N-Y-A-N-G, and Ukut, U-K-O-T.com. There, you'll find more information on Dr. Ukut himself. You'll find more information on his fantastic books, as well as find hyperlinks set up to take you to the purchasing page. So one more time, that's drinyangukut.com. And I will say, he was brought to our network, People of Distinction, by some of the best publishers in the business, Stellar Literary Press and Media. So if you or anybody you know have a book that they'd like moved, well, give yourself the best gift you could possibly give and contact Stellar to move it for you. You can find out more information on them and their wonderful team at stellarliterary.com. So without further ado, let's jump right in. Inyang, first and foremost, welcome to People of Distinction, and thank you very much for being a guest, man. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and you?
Fantastic. Better than I deserve, man. Thank you very much for asking. And again, thank you for being a guest, man. We're really looking forward to this. And I know that the information that you've comprised and you've put into this book is second to none, right? The education is real. So we're ready, man. We're sitting here. We got our notebooks ready, and we are wanting to embark upon the journey with you. Now, before we go into your book, I want to learn about you. So let's start there. Tell our listening audience a little bit more about yourself and your background.
I am a specialist in family medicine. I graduated from the Medical School, College of Medicine, University of Lagos in Nigeria in 1981. And I got my two fellowships in family medicine, one from the National Postgraduate Medical College of Nigeria in 1991, and the second from the West African College of Physicians in 1995. In 2005, I had a diploma in occupational medicine from the Royal College of Physicians of Royal College of Physicians of London. Over the years, I have been very interested in teaching and writing, to the extent that in my fourth year in the medical school, I was engaged to teach practical human anatomy to junior students in the same medical school. And I did that in the fourth year and the fifth year. And I started writing in 1992 when I left medical school about 11 years after. The first book was a book on somebody's biography. And then there was a second book, non-medical also. The third book was a book, my first book in medicine, and the title is Medicine in the Frontline. It is a multiple choice question book. It took a gap of 22 years to be able to go on and write another book titled A Companion to Medical Students and Doctors. And then that was in 2018. And thereafter, I now churned them out. The other four books came between 2018 and 2021. The one of interest to us in this interview is Essentials for Practice of Medicine in the Frontline, Volume 1. It's an atypical book. It's a very unusual book because in medicine, you have voluminous books, very heavy books, very detailed books, and each specialty and even the subspecialties have very detailed books. But in practice, a typical doctor in certain places finds that you cannot find all the conditions that are in those textbooks, but there are some that are commonplace. And these are like foundational issues. You cannot make mistakes in those areas. This is what I decided to do. I sat down and thought about writing a book that would cover the very essential topics in certain areas. Like in this book, Volume 1, we have something written clearly and very succinctly, straight to the point, on public health. As a matter of fact, the very first chapter in the very first section, the first section is public health, like I just mentioned. The very first chapter deals with climate change. And all of us know what is happening in the world today. The book came out in 2020, but in 2022, we know what is happening about climate change in Europe, in America, and other places. Then we also have a section. The next section is on family medicine. The third one is on obstetrics and gynecology. Obstetric issues and gynecological issues have caused a great problem for the a typical doctor who works in rural areas and the peripheral areas. And then you also have the fourth section is on psychiatry. Psychiatric issues are a real burden in the world today. And then the final chapter or the final section is on pathology. So this book is like a book that should be five books in one. And every medical student would need to have this book, purchase it, or collect it as a gift, keep it in their offices, and then make sure they read them, and also give to other people as a gift. As a matter of fact, this book is supposed to be read over and over. Each chapter is between 3,000 and 4,000 words. I am not the only person that wrote the book. What I did was that I decided to enlist specialists in the field, and I gave them guidelines on what to do, to write in very simple and straightforward English, write in prose, and then start with an introduction, a preamble, and then go into the main meat of the matter, the major content of the book, of the chapter, and then go on to discuss the conclusion. And after the conclusion, every chapter of this book has multiple choice questions because, I mean, what is the point reading a book and going to sleep? You should exercise yourself and decide whether you really grasped what were written in that chapter. It is an unusual book, like I said, because most textbooks of medicine do not have that section, multiple choice questions. And the multiple choice questions and answers are towards the tail end of the book. So the person who does not want to do that exercise can as well skip the multiple choice questions. And the person who wants to do a pretest before reading the main book, the main chapter, can go to the back of the book. After dealing with the multiple choice questions, they can now go and read the book at the appropriate places. So it is almost impossible for any medical student worth his salt to say, I cannot read one chapter at a sitting, because typical medical students would devour the books. The words, like I said, are not more than 4,000. Everything, 4,000, except the multiple choice questions. And you may wonder, why is this book available in every... It is available every part of the world because medical students are actually... And that is why you find that my classmates, many of them are in the U.S., and then those that we are training in Nigeria, many of them are leaving the country and they are practicing very well. So the practice is essentially the same. Mm-hmm. But what you find is that the clinical conditions could be different, but they are basically the same thing. For example, when you go to the area of obstetrics, antenatal care or prenatal care is the same all over the world. But it is one thing for you to see 5 patients at your antenatal care clinic. It's a different thing when you are in a place where you see 50. It is when you see 50 that you are in the front line. And it is when you see 50 that you need the material in this book. And you can never be sure when interest or circumstance will take you to a place where you will need to have that kind of practice. Therefore, it is good to be prepared so that wherever you find yourself, you'll be able to function. And apart from that, who would not want to have one textbook that has 5 specialties in it rather than having 5 giant books on the shelf? You can use the shelf and put your photograph there. You can use part of that shelf to put your photograph or put some other book, a novel, rather than filling your office with medical textbooks. Yes, the big books are okay. All of us read them, but I sat down and decided to look for a paradigm shift to make sure that every student in every part of the world should have access to this book. I remember very clearly when I was in the medical school that some of us could not afford those big books. We could not afford those big books. Reason being that we are not all rich. The sons of the rich were able to buy the very, very big books and buy almost every book. But then some of us could not afford the numerous books that were available. And that was why it was good that we had what we used to call ELBS, English Language Book Society, made low-price edition books available to us. Those are virtually extinct. You can't find them in any part of the developing world today. And if you don't have them in our own part of the world, I doubt that you have them in the U.S., in Canada, and other parts of the world. But you still need to know what is happening in the medical front line. Like I said, the front line is when you are the first doctor that attends to a patient. For other specialists, their experience is that they only see patients who are referred. Referred patients get to them. But then, even when referred patients get to them, experience shows that many patients have comorbidities. By that I mean they have multiple health conditions, multiple medical conditions. And therefore, you find that a patient who goes to see the eye specialist may have some other problem that has nothing directly to do with the eye. But yet, that thing that happens to the other condition may have an insidious and unrecognized effect on this person who has an eye problem. Ditto for other conditions. And therefore, it is good for even the specialist to have an idea of what other conditions, what other specialists attend to. This book addresses that. And they now find that the specialist and the subspecialist would need to have this book. It doesn't hurt. You never know. Once in a month, you may have somebody traveling from one part of the world to your own part of the world. And then the person starts telling you complaints that sound strange, complaints that you've not attended to before. But if you have essentials for practice of medicine in the front line, it will not be difficult for you to figure out what the your traveler patient, your visiting patient, is contending with. And also, you find that you should be able to give advice to that person. You may not be advising your specialty, but you should be able to have an idea how this relates to your own specialty. We know that there are many patients who, for example, they have arthritis that affects the joints, they have hypertension, they have heart disease, they have a prostatic enlargement, or they may even have some, when it comes to women, they may have some other issues. The woman with menopause may not fully realize that menopause has come and may have some complaints that you may think, oh, you need to give so-and-so medication for. But if you listen very carefully from the information that you have from essentials of practice in the medicine in the front line, you'll be able to say, oh, this condition that this person has is very likely that something about menopause. So it does not hurt for you to have a book. And the book is not heavy. It is not voluminous. Volume 1 is less than 500 pages of 8.5 inches by 11 inches. It is a book that one can carry about. You can actually travel with it. But I wonder what would happen if you had to travel from one country to the other, from one city to the other, and then you have to carry 5 medical test books. By the time you carry 5 typical medical test books, you will need to pay excess luggage. So this is a very interesting book, and I actually foresee a situation where other people in other parts of the world would try and do something similar, if not even better. But at least this is already out. I have volume 1. And I have volume 2 of this book ready. It is not really in vogue to write such books alone. And that is why I was able to engage my colleagues who are very well versed in their own areas of specialization. And I gave them the requirements. And then they all met the requirements. And by the way, I forgot to mention that anybody who has read a medical test book will find that there are, some of them have at least 100 contributors. And each contributor writes in a different way. So you find a situation where you move from chapter 1 to chapter 2 to chapter 3, different forms of presentation. But I did not want that because I've experienced it. What I decided was that there should be some degree of uniformity. And therefore, you can predict that the beginning of this chapter is going to have a preamble. As you go on, you're going to get the history about the topic briefly. And then you also go on and get the presentation. What I mean by presentation is how the disease condition happens in a patient. You'll find that from that, you now go on to investigations, and then after that, you find that you come to the conclusion. Conclusion is something that you can look at over and over because they mention the salient points in that chapter, simply meaning that if you want to quickly make a reference and do not have the time to read the whole chapter. You can quickly go to the conclusion, and then you'll be able to get the main points that you want to use to attend to your patient. And a situation where you work in the front line, my own definition of front line, is that place where you see that patient that comes from the home, does not need any referral, and comes straight to you. Usually there are so many of them. Are you going to keep them waiting? Remember, you could have up to 30, 40, or 50. I have attended to 50 patients in a typical consultation day, a clinic day. So you need to have the information at your fingertips. If you don't have them at your fingertips and you want to make a reference, that is not the time to move to the library, the hospital library, to look at the information and then come back to attend to your patient. No. But you may tell me that, yes, information is in your phone. That is a problem. Because many patients feel offended when the doctor, when they are talking to a doctor and the doctor is fiddling with the phone, the patient may not realize that you are looking for, the doctor is looking for information that will help them. And therefore, it may not do well. It may not do well for the image of the patient, image of the doctor, and sometimes image of the practice, that when a patient is in front of you, you are busy looking at the phone. You may get information, but then the information that you get should be from credible sources. One of the requirements I gave to the, one of the conditions I gave to the contributors to this book was to make sure that they did their research and get the information from credible sources and to get current information on whatever topic they wrote on. Like I said, there are five sections in volume one. There are also five sections in volume two. Each section is written by one person, and then each section has 10 chapters. Each section has 10 chapters. That means that volume one that we're talking about now has 50 chapters. If I were to ask my hearer or my listener, somebody's asking to write a book, to pick 50 topics, to put in a book, 50 topics in medicine, what would you pick? That is a difficult thing, and that was the difficulty that I had. So eventually, I was able to overcome that difficulty and put these very interesting topics in one volume. I know it will be useful to medical students. It will be useful to practicing doctors. It's actually very useful to another set of doctors, doctors who are retired, because they will need to check those things and they may not have the time. Even though time is on their hands, they may not be able to have that stamina to go through heavy textbooks. It is important. This book is very important in this, in another direction. Another dimension is that the person or the persons or organizations who purchase these books do not have to be doctors or medical institutions. What I envisaged is that donors, those who are interested in the healthcare in any part of the world, should be able to pick up a couple of copies and send them to libraries in their countries. And sometimes you can even donate to hospitals and colleges of medicine in other countries, because there is a need for a book like this. So if you buy a copy, if you buy 10 copies, you do a lot of good because you have done so much. And this book is very affordable. It's very affordable. Are you going to buy, would you not rather buy 10 copies of one book that has five specialties in it than buy two copies of one book, or buy two copies of a book that is difficult to carry around. So it is easier for you to buy this book, mm-hmm, rather than buying many copies or many books. It is cost effective, and it will do the job of passing on information to the doctors and to medical students. I have been there. I am still very much involved in training at the postgraduate level in my own specialty in both colleges, West African College of Physicians and the National Postgraduate Medical College of Nigeria. I have four other books, like I just mentioned. One of them is called A Companion for Medical Students and Doctors. That one is not a very heavy book. It has about 567 pages. And currently, it is a textbook that is suggested for foreign-trained medical graduates who want to practice medicine in Nigeria. The reason why that book is recommended is not because there are not other textbooks in the country or textbooks outside the country. It's simply because it deals with practical issues. Can you imagine that things as simple as how to do phlebotomy, how to take blood from a child, is in that book? We know anyone who has a child knows that it is not an interesting thing for you to watch your child crying because five attempts or three, four, five attempts have been made to take blood or to set up an intravenous line for the child. So this book, A Companion for Medical Students and Doctors, is really a companion. It is small enough to enter the pocket of the clinical coat of medical students or doctors. It addresses very practical issues, how to interact with patients, and the essentials concerning medications. And it also contains multiple choice questions. There is another one that I call Our Hospitals, Making Things Work. That one is written for everybody. How to make things work in our hospitals. The hospitals are the last line in a series of facilities and organizations that take care of healthcare in any country. But then hospitals are where a healthcare system is judged. If you say your healthcare system is working, then your hospitals must work. All the policies that government make, all the things that are purchased, all the paperwork that is done, all the auditing that is done, if the patient who goes to a hospital cannot say, yes, you people have done well, then you cannot say you've done well. So it's not really the hospital, the structure itself. It covers the people who are in the hospitals. It covers the equipment that are in the hospitals. It covers the maintenance that you have in the hospitals. It covers design of facilities management in the hospital. It covers personnel management or the human resources in a hospital, how training should take place, and how recruitment should take place, including separation of personnel. It covers so many areas, but that particular book, I made it to be small so that those who are not doctors can read through. Interestingly, one of the things I actually desire is that anybody who purchases any of my books should be able to read from the beginning to the last page, from the first page to the last page.
In Young, listen, man, this, guys, I'm telling you, this is a fantastic resource. And this is not even the only book. Okay, this is volume one. Volume two is out, and there's another four other books. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, DrInYangUkut.com are the places you have to go. Head on over there today and pick up every single book. I'm telling you, the resource, the education, second to none. A wonderful book to add to your shelf, an even better gift to add to someone else's. Head on over there today and pick up your copies. In Young, this has been an absolute pleasure. Such an honor. I truly mean that. Thank you for the wonderful education. And thank you for being a guest on People of Distinction.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure also.